Hello, everyone. Welcome to Perfect Timing Podcast. I'm your host, Sydney Chanamonet, and this is episode 7, I believe. And today we have Faith Blackstone, and she is an activist in her community of Minneapolis. 17-year-old activist and entrepreneur Faith Blackstone was featured on the Today Show last week. She discussed her activism efforts in her hometown of Minneapolis and how she designed a quilt in memory of George Floyd that was showcased at the funeral and memorial. During Faith's sophomore year, she challenged her principal about Black History Month programming in her school and led a group of students to create a series of BHM posters to celebrate and acknowledge BHM at her high school, who is currently not acknowledging at all. Some of those posters were deemed too controversial and not allowed to be displayed. Faith and her students were told they had to meet the community where they are. In response, she then organized a student-led protest at her school to protest against her Black History Month protests. Posters being censored. They chanted Black History Uncensored and decided along with her mother to host a Black History 365 Uncensored event a week later in the direct protest to her high school's attempt to censor Black history. They invited the community to view all of Faith's posters and celebrated Black history through providing a platform for youth to speak their truth. It was a standing room only event. Faith then left her high school in Chaska due to racism and decided to attend a residential public arts high school, Perpich School of Arts, in Minneapolis. As a junior, she continues to galvanize the community and organize a community awareness event at her current art school and around climate change. Faith is also one of 6 students suing the school district as part of the federal lawsuit for racism. After George Floyd's killing, Faith was inspired by Gianna Floyd, George Floyd's daughter, to create an art piece. The art piece was then turned into a quilt that was displayed on stage at the George Floyd Memorial Services and funeral. Faith gifted the family members with the tapestry blanket. Faith dreams of attending an art college where she graduates next year and is currently looking into several art colleges, including USC and Maryland Institute College of Art. Hello, Faith. Thank you for joining me today.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
So, were you able to join George Floyd's family at the memorial service?
Yes. I actually attended. So, there was 3. There was the one in Houston, the one in North Carolina, and the one here in Minneapolis. I attended the one in Minneapolis. Right. And, yes, I got to see the family there, and I got to give them the quilt personally.
Yeah, was it a little emotional for you?
Oh, yeah. It was just, the whole room was just filled with, like, grief, and you could just feel it in your body sitting there.
I'm so glad that you found it in your heart to make a quilt for them and, you know, try and give them some light on the situation that they're going through, especially for, you know, his entire family, because his life was taken on a small inconvenience, and it was a real eye-opener. So I'm glad that you saw it in your heart to, you know, boost their moods with the gift that you offered them.
Absolutely.
Your attitude and the way you carry yourself makes you a hero to your peers and family. Who is your hero and why?
My hero would be I gotta say Huey P. Newton. He is just so inspiring to me, and I just think that's the dude of revolution to me. And, you know, he always says such inspiring things that are always relevant to me and to what's going on right now. And one of the quotes I pulled that I think sticks out to what I'm trying to express to people is, the revolution has always been in the hands of the young. The young always inherit the revolution. I mean, is that not what we're trying to say here? I mean,
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, I agree that, you know, the next generation will always bring up something to, you know, add value to our future. So I totally agree with, you know, the power of the youth can really change the perspectives of others. And just like how you were protesting in your school to raise awareness for it, because, you know, Black people have been oppressed for years, and for schools not to acknowledge it is completely, it's not right, obviously. And so for you to speak up about it, really stand with your response.
Yes.
What would you like someone to know about you that people don't already know?
One of the things that is not really openly talked about that I think should be talked about is my mental health. And I think that's a really important conversation to be had, not only here and with your peers, but with the society in general. To talk more openly about mental health and to bring awareness to it. And I currently fight severe depression every day of my life. And that has impacted my activism and the way I carry myself greatly. And I've struggled with that, you know, every single day getting up. Just everything I do is a lot harder, but it also pushes me to do something to make myself not feel as sad inside. And so my mental health is something that I want to talk about more. And I have a couple of goals of activism that I wanted to achieve. And one of those goals is to bring mental health awareness to people, and to also increase the amount of mental health care that we have in our schools.
Wow, I'm so proud of you for, you know, breaking the barrier and sharing with us how you've been feeling about your mental health. I honestly wasn't expecting that response, but I'm like, my eyes are like wide open now. I'm like, wow. And I'm really proud of you that you're able to step out and not really dwell on it, but use it as something to help your activism. And, you know, it's something that it's not easy, obviously. And I can imagine how it can like alter how you can do more for the community and things like that. So I'm sorry that you had to go through something like that. And just know that we're all in this together, and we're here to support you.
Thank you so much. Absolutely. And that's what I think all young people, or people who suffer with it or deal with mental illness in any kind of way, should feel as well.
Mm-hmm. So one more question for you before we go into break. What was your hardest or strongest adversity, and how did you handle it?
My hardest struggle in my life was pretty much recently, like in the past 3 weeks. So the story is that I come from a family where I have never met my biological father, and that unfortunately is the case for a lot of families of color. And you know, I always dealt with people joking about that in a way of racism and et cetera. But I recently found him and found out that he died 3 years ago. So that was a really big struggle for me, to know that I was never able to meet him. And it really pushed me forward as an activist, because I knew that I had to do something that he would be proud of. And I knew that I had to carry myself in a way where he could look down on me wherever he is and just be proud of who I am and see that I'm doing something to change the world. And I really hope to do that, whether if it's me doing something or inspiring other people to do something. And, you know, it was really hard for me to come to terms with that. But keeping myself busy and to fight through with activism really made the grieving process easier for me. And now I'm accepting the fact that he's not here, and really trying to push forward with my goals and activism.
Wow, that was really powerful and something really touching for me. And I do have family members that, you know, they're in the same boat with you. They don't know who their biological father is, so they kind of feel that that part of them is missing, so they have to fill that void with something else. But since you've never been able to meet him, you still carry him with you, biologically, obviously, mm-hmm. and spiritually. And it's something that not a lot of people can do. Sometimes they have hatred. Sometimes they have remorse for things like that. But you still seem like, with your mental illness, you still carry it with you, not always as a negative thing. And for people to joke on you about that is not, it's rude. I mean, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do about it. So it's kind of like, I'm very proud of you for, you know, always standing up for yourself and realizing like, hey, I'm going to use this to take it with me and have a positive mindset about it and, you know, carrying it along with you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, right now we're going to go into a break and we'll be right back with Fake Blastone.
Are you overwhelmed in your business? Have you faced challenges and you're uncertain about how to overcome them? Listen to My Empowerment Journey podcast. This is your host, Dr. Jennifer Jones Bryan. I'm so excited to bring to you my podcast. It comes with strategies. It comes with tools and tips and techniques. My guests have been phenomenal with sharing their stories to help others in their empowerment journey. Please join me on Fridays at 7 p.m. and I look forward to you listening so you can feel empowered on your journey.
Hey, this is Sydney Chandler-Lanay, and I'm so excited to share with you my international podcast, Perfect Timing, that will be broadcast on Mondays at 2 p.m. through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and so much more. We will have outstanding guests that will talk about their passions, goals, and dreams. Make sure you tune in and have a seat at the table where we will create a voice for us every Monday at 2 p.m. This is Sydney Collins of Perfect Timing. All right, everyone, welcome back. Again, I'm here with Faith Blackstone, and we're just going to keep going on with it.
Absolutely. As I was talking about earlier with my biological father, this isn't really a defining moment, but there definitely was a time in my youth. I've had a stepdad who has been there since I was 3 years old. And he is my dad to me. And the moment I realized he wasn't my actual dad, I was just sent into this downward spiral of my mental health, and moving away from my home, California, to Minnesota, thinking that my biological father didn't want me. And I wanted to give him something to be proud of. I wanted him to regret not raising me. And that was my whole direction of my life for a long time, because for 15 years, I didn't even know my biological father's name. I only had one picture that I had to find myself. And to know that all of that was wrong, and that he was actually searching for me his whole life after the fact that I was born, really pushes me now, since I only discovered that recently. It really pushes me to give people the benefit of the doubt, because I, as you said earlier, Sydney, some people do have hatred or like a bad feeling about people who walk out on them or choose not to be in their life. And I absolutely felt that. I absolutely, you know, with my mental health, there were a lot of things going on in my head that I was thinking, and I have been in really dark places. But I always used it as a way of, I wanted to prove him wrong. And I didn't want me to be a nobody. I wanted to make something out of myself that he would be able to see and that he couldn't ignore me. And he might even be proud of me and want to raise me. And that was my whole goal for my life. And that was basically what steered me towards my success.
Does that bring you like a sense of peace to know that he was searching for you?
Oh, absolutely. I actually have met up with, well, I have discovered a whole new family. I have figured out that I have siblings and aunts and uncles, and they are very welcoming and welcomes me into their family. And it just brings me so much inner peace, because it feels like 15 years of my life was not only sort of a lie, but it feels like all those unanswered questions that plagued my mind were answered. And that really pushes me forward with what I'm trying to do.
Oh, I'm glad that they were very welcoming of you, because, you know, sometimes it's the other way around, but I'm glad that it turned out in a positive way for you. And, you know, as a girl, I think all girls really find that a father figure is something that we all need, because how our dad would treat us is how we would want, you know, another male to treat us. We take that and like, well, if my dad treats me this way, then other men should treat me this way. And people who don't, you know, don't have a father figure, or their father figure wasn't, you know, the best, it kind of changes their whole mindset of, is this what I want to have, like, you know, either as a friend, as a significant other. And if a father figure isn't really present in a girl's life, it can really like alter how they think of that. I'm really glad that it gives you peace that he was searching for you this time, and you basically feel like you were left behind by him, but really was just like, you know, the other way around. And so I'm really glad that it turned out, it turned around for you.
Thank you.
How can we support what you're doing in the community?
You know, I appreciate any vocal support, any messages, and I get some of them, and they mean a lot to me, because I have, with my mental illness, I have a lot of internal dialogue, and pretty much 90% of the time, it's not good dialogue. And to hear people say that that I inspire them, or that that I'm doing a good job, something as simple as that is really powerful for me. But as far as tangible things, you know, as any student in high school, especially a senior, which I will be next year, scholarships would help me greatly, because getting into art school or college in general is the next biggest step for me to be successful in my life. And to get myself in a higher position where my voice can make a difference for the people in power, I would love to have a larger audience also, where I can encourage other younger people in my community and all over the world to stand up for what they believe in any way they can. And, you know, that can be in the form of, you know, having people to talk to, these opportunities like with you, Sydney. Anything really is something that I would appreciate greatly.
I totally agree. I mean, when I was first starting out this podcast, I was really shy about it. I didn't really know what I was doing going into it. And after some time, when I saw people commenting like, oh, this is a great podcast, you know, like, give me the link so I can share it with my family and friends. Like, it really gives me that boost of confidence, like, wow, people actually listen. And it gives me, like, well, hey, if you guys like it, I might as well keep going, you know. So, and, you know, having people like you on here gives me that drive also, because I'm able to share this kind of story and, you know, multiple kinds of stories of the youth, and you know, they have struggles, like they're able to share it here and let the listeners hear what it is. And I think it's just a very supporting group, and having that kind of support, like you said, it just gives you that kind of drive to keep going. And, you know, just a simple like, oh, I love your podcast is like, that's enough for me, honestly. Are you an entrepreneur of a business or nonprofit organization? If so, tell us about it.
Yes, I am an entrepreneur of my own art business called Faith Be Lovely Arts. And I basically just created it in a classroom, not doing what I was supposed to be doing on my computer, in my sophomore year. And I put together my own website, which is faithbelovelyarts.com without the E in lovely. And I've also got a Redbubble shop where you can get my art on t-shirts, masks, buttons, you name it. And I also offer commissions, which is how I make custom pieces of artwork for people. And it's really intriguing how the business aspect of everything works. And it's so funny to be so young and to experience all of this while I'm still going through school, because it gets hectic. And sometimes I have to choose between what I'm passionate about in school.
Well, your organization sounds really inspiring, and we'll be sure to add it into, you know, the description where people can go to the website and, you know, purchase your art. And speaking of art, like, how did you find out that your artwork would be held at the memorial and funeral of George Floyd?
Yeah, so I made the piece, and I was greatly inspired by Gianna, and I saw that picture of George Floyd in the car with his daughter when she was younger, and that really touched me. And I really wanted to create a piece that people would see George Floyd as a person and not as a hashtag or a victim. I wanted to see him as a father, or as a father, an uncle, a brother, a son, all of these things. And that's why I chose that picture of him just wearing normal clothing that you just see him walking down the street in, like a hat and t-shirt. And I really made the piece for Gianna Floyd because, you know, with my story with my father and how you were talking about father figures earlier, I can't even imagine what Gianna is feeling to not only know that her father isn't here anymore, but to know that she is probably really confused, and, you know, the only thing she really was told was that her dad couldn't breathe, and that she was seeing his face all over the news and everything going on. And that's just incredibly sad to me, but also very relatable to my situation. And I wanted to make something that she could remember her father not as a criminal. You know, I get comments all the time and people wanting to drag his name in the dirt, saying that he was a criminal and what this and that, and that he deserved it. And that's just absolutely not true. But I really did the halo and the wings to portray him as what Gianna saw him as a proud father and a man. And, you know, he was kind and he was really caring to other people. And to hear the family talk about him just drove me even more to support what was going on. And once I made that peace, we have a family friend who works at the Estes Funeral Home, which is the organization who handled all the memorials and setting it up and all that. And they reached out to me and asked if they could put my piece on the tapestry or the quilt that would be with the casket and on stage. And I didn't know that it was going to be on stage, so that was quite exciting and shocking at the same time. I was like, wait a second, is that my artwork out there? Because going there and actually seeing it on stage was crazy to me. Like, it was right there, and I got to walk up to the casket, and I got to feel that presence there and to know that my artwork is there. And it was a really touching moment when everybody was grieving. One of the brothers went up to the quilt and stroked his hand across it, and he was crying. And that to me was exactly what I was trying to do. I was trying to bring his soul in some way to this piece and to this quilt that they could have and take home to remember him and to hold his memory by.
Yeah, definitely. That is truly a blessing that your artwork had brought that kind of emotion out, and how you were saying you were able to go up to the casket and, like, you know, feel the presence of, you know, everyone grieving around and the spirit of everything. And, you know, like, what a shock. I mean, your art had brought that out in people. And I can only imagine how that would feel for you. And we're going to continue to pray for Gianna. And, you know, Black Lives Matter isn't a trend. George Floyd is more than a hashtag, you know, and all the other Black lives that have been lost, like you were saying, we're not just a hashtag. And I agree completely. And I'm so glad your artwork was able to bring that out in people.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And my final question for you is, how can our listeners reach you?
Yes. So my little listeners, hello. You can reach me via my Instagram, which is at faithbelovely, without the E. So FAITHBELOVLY. That's where I'm most active. I post, I repost informational Black Lives Matter movement things, activism things, information in my stories. And I just post a lot of the artwork I do, wacky stuff, cool opportunities I get. And I would appreciate having a larger audience to convey my activism with, and to really push people to, I don't want to say be like me, but to do something small that can have a big impact. So yes, they can reach me via Instagram. They can also check out my Redbubble and my website. And any support would be greatly appreciated. And I'd like to thank you, Sydney, for inviting me to this podcast. This is so fun.
Of course.
Thank you. Such a unique opportunity.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that it was a pleasure to have you on here. And I'd be happy to collaborate with you more in the future, you know, when Miss Rona is calmed down. Maybe I could visit you in Minneapolis, or you could come down here to Maryland. But yeah, it was a pleasure to have you on here. And I'm so glad that we were able to have this intimate conversation and, you know, really talk and really dive in into it. And we'll be sure to have all of your, you know, your handles when we, when this airs. So, but thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening today. Again, this is Faith Blackstone, and be sure to come back every Monday at 2 p.m. Bye, guys.